Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Alhamdulillah, we here at Qalam are growing, and one of the amazing new additions that we have here at Qalam that you've probably already gotten a chance to listen to is Imam Mikail Smith. Alhamdulillah, Imam Mikail is a phenomenal scholar and imam who teaches full-time at the Qalam Seminary, but also makes time in between to not only conduct this podcast and share this with y'all, but he also teaches really amazing online classes that you can find at QalamConnect.com. That's QalamConnect.com. So inshallah, go to the website, check out the classes. The spring semester just kicked off. People are really excited, having a really great time, learning a lot. Insha'Allah, check out the courses there and hopefully you're able to sign up for the upcoming semester. Now, I'm going to let you all get back to the podcast with our beloved and amazing instructor, Imam Mikail Smith, who is teaching a phenomenal, very insightful new class on the rights of companionship and friendship. So listen, enjoy, and share with family and friends. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wa ala. So, inshallah, today as we continue our Purification of the Heart series, this evening I wanted to discuss a very important aspect of spiritual rectification and being on that path of bettering ourselves, our akhlaq, and our internal states and our hearts. I wanted to talk about a very important aspect of that path, a very important aspect of spiritual growth and spiritual maturity in general. We've been talking about spiritual maturity throughout this class, and tonight I'm going to talk about an aspect of that really aids or can really, really set back a person's spiritual maturity or spiritual growth. This concept or this idea is we read it every day in Surah Fatiha, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us this prayer, اِهْدِنَا صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ نَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Now, regarding that verse, we're asking Allah to guide us and put us on صِرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. But when we do that, we ask Him, we actually reference other people, صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ, the path of those who you have blessed. So we kind of reference this other group of people. Now, if we look at other places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about those group of people. And amta alayhim min an-nabiyyin wa siddiqin wa shuhada'i wa salihin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who are an amta alayhim min an-nabiyyin, the prophets, wa siddiqin, the truthful, wa shuhada, the martyrs, wa salihin. وَحَسُنَا أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. Now this is the point I want to talk about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, at this point says, وَحَسُنَا أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. And those are good companions or good friends for you to have. So what I want to talk about today is an essential part of spiritual rectification and spiritual maturity, which is having good companionship or good friendship. And I want to talk about what is this concept of ukhuwa or suhba or mujalisin. What is this concept in general, first of all? What are the rights of it? Who deserves to be our friends? Because we live in this kind of culture where we just friend people. Follow friends, same thing. But now, to me, that has kind of diluted this concept of what a rafiq is or what ukhuwa is or what friendship is. So many scholars have actually written entire books on this concept of the huquq as-suhba, like the rights of friendship in Islam. So it's actually a very, very deep concept that what are those rights. So we'll go into some of them, and I think actually it's going to lead into next week's class as well. But the two words that, first and foremost, if we want to talk about rank and honor in our like Islamic hierarchy, like if we want to look at the Islamic hierarchy of rank and honor and privilege, it goes to a certain category of people who are called after the Prophet ﷺ, after all anbiya are called sahaba. Okay, sahaba are awliya, yes, of course. Sahaba. Now, sahaba comes from a root word, what? Sahaba. Now, the word sahaba literally means to accompany someone. Sahaba, sahibi, right? To accompany someone. Now, what's interesting thing is we don't say Sheikh Abu Bakr radiallahu an. We don't say like Hafiz Umar radiallahu an, Mawlana Uthman. You know, we don't say those titles because the best title that they could have is Sahibi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, if you really think about this concept on a deeper level, what is the one privilege that they were blessed with, the fadl, you can say, the bounty that Allah gave them over anyone else? It was only companionship and good company. The highest level of good company. The highest level of good company. So we literally call them Sahaba, the companions, because that's the greatest level you can get. And our aqidah is based on this concept of the uprightness of the Sahaba. Our entire aqidah and creed and theology is based on this concept of Ashabu kulluhum adud, like all of the Sahaba are righteous. So, but the point I really want you to contemplate on for a moment is seeing the role of suhbah in keeping company. Now, the thing that gave them this level of spiritual maturity was sitting in the company of someone that has that level of spiritual maturity himself. That's the thing that's being passed on. And ayatin bayyinatin fi suduri alladhina utul ilm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he speaks about this knowledge, the knowledge of like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it was a knowledge that passed from one heart to the next. Now that one heart to the next is simply being in the company of those people, not necessarily listening, not necessarily speaking, but just being in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that greatest honor they got. So from there we learn this concept that if anybody wants to achieve any rank in Islam, It's not about what you know. It's not about the hadith you can quote. It's literally about who you sat with. Like Abdullah bin Mubarak. I'll give an example. There's a tabi'i who followed the Sahaba. He came in the generation after Sahaba. His name was Abdullah bin Mubarak. Well known for so many things. Hadith and wara and everything. He said when anyone would come to us to teach us knowledge, what would the first thing we say, what we would ask him? What would we say to him? Amen. What would it be? Sammu rijalakum. We would say, name your men. Or women. You could have women teachers. Like, name your men. What does that mean, name your men? Like, who did you sit with? Where did you get this authority to teach? Where did you get this knowledge from? Where did it come from? So name your people. Who did you sit with? And the greatest honor from our heritage was to just be a part of this chain of narrators, which means I just sat with these people and learned from them, right? And now we're in an age where education has changed greatly. Education is on a whole different platform now. Because when you talk to your professor, like, respect your professor. Like, what does that mean? The concept of respecting a teacher in Islam and apply that to your college professor. He'd be like, yo, why are you sucking up? Like, what's wrong? What are you doing? Like, that's weird. No, but that concept of honoring knowledge in the person you got the knowledge from was something we get from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because these are the places where the knowledge comes from. So we respect the receptacle or the means by which Allah gave us that knowledge. Right? Like, for example, I'll give you an example when it comes to respect for tools of learning. Like, there in West Africa, we read Imam Qurtubi says that when they would write their Quran to memorize, and they would memorize the lesson that they wrote down on the lawh, they would wash off the chalk. But that washed off chalk would never be thrown away. That would be kept for barakah, either drank or used in some other way, because I just wrote Quran with this. This was a means for me to learn. It was a tool that Allah used to give me that knowledge. So how dare I disrespect that? So that same type of adab or respect for tools of learning, if you're going to do that with the chalk that was run off from a board, imagine the respect someone would have for a teacher that they had. Hence, Ali radiallahu anh, he said, and I quote, I am a slave to a person that teaches me one letter. He can sell me or keep me if he likes. I am a slave to a person that teaches me. The reason I went into this is because when we talk about this type of respect and suhbah, and we look at the present day pedagogical thought and how education is today, an online class, like, you don't have that same level of suhbah as you do. Maybe some of you, you know, you watch the podcast later or you watch the video later. It's not the same. It's not the same as actually sitting in that gathering and being there in that moment, right? So that is, I just wanted to highlight this idea of the highest level sahaba got was this title of suhbah, people of suhbah. Same thing happens to us. If you want to get anywhere, whether it be knowledge in Islam, whether it be spiritual uprightness, you have to have this concept of suhbah, which is companionship. Now, there are two words typically used when we talk about suhbah, two words that are typically used. Number one is jalis. The Prophet ﷺ in many hadith used this word jalis. Jalis means someone who you sit with. Jalis, julasa. The Prophet ﷺ was asked, one sahaba said, who are the best julasa? Like, who's the best people to sit with, chill with, hang out with, go to Starbucks with? I don't know. I wouldn't go to Starbucks ever, but anyways. Just horrible coffee. But anyways, who are the best people to go to have good coffee with? So the Prophet ﷺ said, who are the three people? Who knows? The one who, when you see them, they remind you of Allah. It, you know, some people, you see them, they remind you of a cryptocurrency, right? Or cars, or calligraphy, or whatever it may be, artwork. You see them and you just think of that thing right away. You're like, yo, right? But you don't want to be that dude. You want to be that one who what? When you walk in, and subhanAllah, that's why I feel like the Muslim woman is so precious to our society in reality. Because her presence challenges norms. Her presence reminds people of Allah. Like, why are you dressed like that? Because I believe in Allah. Did you forget your heritage? Did you forget? Like, you just walk in and people are, you walk in a room and they're like checking themselves. Like your presence is so powerful because it just, that presence reminds people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's finish this hadith. Khayr julasa, who? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the one who when you see them, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now here's the challenge I have. Do you even have anyone around you? Like, you should be thinking right now, do I even know someone who, when I see them, I actually just, subhanAllah, remember Allah? That's a good question. Because if you don't, then we need to build an environment around ourselves or be places where we meet those people. Number two, زَادَ مَنْ تَقُهُ عِلْمًا. When that person speaks, your knowledge increases. They don't just waste your time just talking about whatever. But the conversations are such that whenever he speaks or she speaks, you learn something new. Be it dunya, be it deen, whatever it is. But you're learning something new from the moment that person opens their mouth. There are other people that you're like, will you just be quiet? Like, you have not said anything beneficial this whole time. But there's other people you're like, just absorbing everything they're saying. And last one, what is it? Huh? Qasim, come here. Who's the last one? When you see them, they remind you of Allah. And they're, when you hear them, what is it? When you hear them, when they speak, they increase you in knowledge. And the last one, their actions remind you of the hereafter. Their actions, so there's two things. There's words, but now the actions, when you see how they, when you see how they act, when you see how they interact, when you see how they actually do things, you remember, whoa, this life is real. There's something after this life. And it reminds you of the hereafter. So the Prophet ﷺ used two words when it talks about suhbah. Okay. Yeah, hi. Suhbah and jalis. And ikhwan is the other word. We'll talk about that as well. Now, when it comes to company, Imam Ghazali broke it down in two ways. He says you have suhbah ikhtiyari and غير اختياري. اختياري means the company you choose. اختيار, you have اختيار. And the other company is غير اختياري, company you don't choose. Like you got to work with this guy. Like this guy works on your job site every day, so you got to see him, right? Now the most that Imam Ghazali says about that غير اختياري is that this is not the thing we're focusing on right now. But what I would say on top of that though, is even if you're in غير اختياري company that you don't like, you have to make sure that your heart remains not desensitized to that though. You have to keep that level of, I wish I didn't have to sit in this gathering so much. Okay, I have to for work, alhamdulillah. But I don't really want to be in this gathering right now. Your heart stays at that level. Now, when we talk about اختياري, Imam Ghazali explains that this is the one which we're talking about for the rest of this evening, which is, this is the one which your reward is based on, your status in the sight of Allah, your spiritual condition, everything is based on this category. And he says it all comes down to hub. Hub, love. It all comes down to love. Because he says, you will naturally, taqarib, you will naturally be attracted and close to that which you love. Wherever there's munasibah, likeness, that love, wherever that love is, that is where you're going to find yourself in that category. Now, I'm going to break this down a little bit more so you can really understand how Imam Ghazali looks at this concept of suhbah and people that we hang out with. So Imam Ghazali says there's going to be two reasons primarily why you choose a certain person's company. Two reasons. He says, number one reason is because that person can get you something that you like. That person can get you something that you, maqsood. He said, atawassul ila maqsood. He's a means. Like you're using that person for something, right? That's one reason you choose that person. Now he says, in that category, there could be someone who is a means for you, your akhirah. Like you love this person because they're a means for you to become a better Muslim. Know more about Allah. Know more about the Prophet. The primary reason you love this person is because of that benefit they give you for the akhirah. The other one, we're still in the category of the person who you love because they're a means. Right? The other one is someone you love because they can give you some dunya. They can increase your fame. They can increase your wealth. They can increase your popularity. They can increase your, get you a better job. Whatever it may be. You want this connection. You want this tie because of some worldly benefit. Okay? Now, second category. First category was who? Someone who is a means to something else. And we said that there could be a good means and there could just be for dunya means. Okay? The other category is someone, he says, that you love لِذَاتِهِ. Just the person. There's no means. It's just that person. I love their companionship. I want to be with them. Just the person in themselves. There's nothing that I get from them. It's the person themselves. Now, he said it's only going to be for two reasons. Either husnul khalq or husnul khuluq. Beautiful. It's either because they have a beautiful outward appearance or of some type, husnul khalq, or they have beautiful internal disposition, husnul khuluq. Same word, khalq, khuluq. It's just a dhamma and a fatha. One means, and they say in Urdu, khubsirat and khubsurat. Like external versus internal beauty. Khuluq, khalq. And then he says there's one more thing when it comes to liking a person just for themselves. He says, you know what? There's one more factor, guys. And this is what I really want to talk about right now. There's one more factor. He said, the Prophet ﷺ said, The Prophet ﷺ, he said, Al-arwah junood mujannada. That the souls of Bani Adam, the souls of each of all of us, were like battalions in armies, you could say. Like, you know, you meet someone, two people from the military meet each other. What do they first say? Like, what were you in? Oh, I was in the army. So I was in the army too. And then they, I don't know the terminologies now, right? But you can hear them talk, right? They go, well, what, you know, what further deeper classification? What group were you in? Oh, I was in this one. Oh, I was here. Oh, I was there too. But then which smaller branch were you in? Oh, I was here. Oh, okay. Now it creates some affinity between them right there. We're not praying. It's not prayer time. Okay. That creates some affinity there. This hadith is beautiful. The Prophet, yes, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith said, "Al-arwah, our souls." When Allah subhanahu wa taala created the souls, and Imam Ghazali explains that the souls were put into different groups, and then when they were circling the throne of Allah, you and your group were circling that the arsh of Allah, the throne of Allah, and you guys were together. So this hadith says, okay, go to mommy. Okay, sit down. The Prophet ﷺ then further went on to say, فَمَنْ اِتْتَلَفَ مِنْهَا فَمَا تَعَارَفَ مِنْهَا اِتْتَلَفَ. Whichever souls were together at that moment, they recognize each other, and there's already what we say, they click. You know, now we say they click. You just click with that person. And then he says, وَمَا تَنَاكَرَ اِخْتَلَفَ. And the souls that don't know each other, like you were Army, I was Navy, yo. I was Air Force, oh my goodness, right? There's this little concept, right? Like Air Force, oh, okay. Right? Tanakara. Like they don't have that recognition of each other. Aisha, there's a narration that Aisha, this is beautiful. One time Aisha radiallahu, there was a lady in Mecca who was really known for her jokes. She was hilarious at the time of Aisha. This lady was known for her jokes. This is narrated in Ihya al-Umideen. And there was another sister in Medina who had a similar, like, kind of personality, right? She used to always just crack jokes. She was known, if you want to crack jokes, just go sit with this sister, okay? One in Mecca, one in Medina. Coincidentally, the sister from Mecca came to visit Medina. And she came to Aisha radiallahu anha. So she's sitting with Aisha radiallahu anha. She's talking to Aisha. She's talking to Aisha, and they're, you know, talking this and that. Time passes, and then Aisha says, so where are you staying tonight? Where are you going to sleep? She goes, oh, I'm sleeping at such and such's house. The same sister who was the jokester in Medina. So then Aisha read this hadith. She goes, oh, subhanAllah, al-arwah, junudun mujannada. Like, souls are, they recognize each other. So she's like, subhanAllah, like, of course you two would be together. Of course you two would be together. There's another narration where the Prophet ﷺ said, listen to this hadith, it's a powerful hadith to support this concept that those attributes that are found common in those souls are what attract us to each other. Listen to this hadith. لَوْ أَنَّ مُؤْمِنًا دَخَلَ إِلَى مَجْلِسٍ فِيهِ مِئَةُ مُنَافِقٍ. This narration in Ihya is that if a mu'min enters into a gathering and there's 100 munafiqeen in this gathering, hypocrites, okay? And their iman is not pure, okay? And one mu'min in this gathering, so how many? One mu'min and 100 munafiqeen in this gathering. And a mu'min walks in. The narration goes, لَجَاءَ حَتَّى يَجْلِسَ إِلَيْهِ. Like, what will happen is that person will naturally be pulled to find that person and sit with that person. Like, think about the power of that. Think about the power of what that narration is saying. Then the narration continues that if there's 100 mu'mineen sitting together and one munafiq sitting in that gathering, and one munafiq, this quality of nifaq or hypocrisy is in his heart, he walks in. The narration is like, somehow, they're going to end up sitting. They're going to be together. They're going to pull each other together. So subhanAllah, Imam Ghazali says from this, أَشْبَهُ الشَّيْءِ مُنْجَذِبِ أَشْبَهُ الْأَشْيَاءَ مُنْجَذِبِ. That things that have the same attributes, they pull each other together. So Abdullah bin Mubarak, he says, similar quality. He says that there are no two people that come together out of a group of 10 except that there's a common attribute. There's a common attribute that they're both sharing. Think about that. 10 people together, you end up with this person. Abdullah bin Mubarak is like, the reason you ended up with that person is because there's some quality that you two share. Something deep inside. On that level of arwah, junud mujannada. Imam Ghazali at this point, basically, guys, is like, there's deeper forces to why we befriend who we befriend. That's his summary here. That one thing is they can get you something. Another thing is that they remind you of Allah, this and that. Another reason is that there's some quality that you two share that has brought you two together. So Abdullah bin Mubarak, he tells kind of a funny story, which is that one occasion he was telling this, that he was telling this story that if there's a group of 10 people and two people share a quality, then they're going to naturally come together out of those 10 people. Those two will find each other and they'll sit there and they'll talk. They'll sit together and whatever. And subhanAllah, you'll realize this in a gathering. You know, you'll realize that you sit and talk to someone and then you move to here. Then you find that person you really click with. There's chemistry, as we call it. SubhanAllah, we already have this concept of there's something there. I don't know why we kind of click. So we just call it there's chemistry. That's the word we use for this unexplainable internal relationship, why I'm befriending such and such person. So he gives an example, Abdullah bin Mubarak, he gives that example of two people. Then he goes, one day I saw a pigeon and a crow together. Just, you know, walking, eating together. And in my mind, I'm like, why are birds of a feather flock together? He's like, why are these two together? It doesn't make sense to me. And he said, I watched them and I watched them and I watched them. And he says, when they flew away, I noticed that they were both a'raj. And a'raj meaning like either like one of their legs didn't work, or a'raj could also, I think for a bird, would be more like their wing. They couldn't fly completely properly. Give it to mommy. Give it to mommy. Right? So he said, ah, so now I see the quality. Yeah, one was a crow and one was a pigeon, but they share another quality. That's why they linked up together. So the deepest part about this is this. The deepest part is when you realize your company, you can use your company as a means to gauge your level, who you are. Like the Prophet ﷺ is telling us, be careful who you befriend, because a person is going to be on the religion of their friend, their companion. This is even deeper. This is like, wait, look at whose company you keep, because that means there's some quality that are bringing you guys together. So you need to be watching your company. Because you and such click for some reason. Well, if they're a righteous, good person, oh, that's great. There's something in me that's good. But if that's not there, then you're like, whoa, what is that quality that keeps me connected with this person? What is that thing? So this idea of suhbah and good friendship is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises in the Quran. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. There's a verse, فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا, that this ukhuwa, brotherhood and friendship, is a big blessing. That's the first thing. So the point I want us to really get here is that trying our best to facilitate and create good friendships, and we're going to talk about what do I mean by good in a minute, is a big blessing in spiritual rectification and spiritual maturity. If you have a friend who's on that same path, you know, there's a hadith, beautiful hadith I want to share with you guys, that Imam Ghazali shares, that I want to read it verbatim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. مثل الأخوين مثل اليدين تغسل إحداهما أخرى. The example of two brothers or two friends are the example of two hands. Beautiful example. If you want to understand friendship, the Prophet ﷺ is saying the example of two friends is like two hands. What do two hands do? You ever try washing your hand by itself? How hard is that to wash? You're running under the water. You're like doing this. It's so hard. How do you get the backside of it? So, okay, alhamdulillah, you got two hands. This hand cleans this hand. This hand cleans this hand. The beautiful thing is that they're two separate entities, but their purpose and goal is one. That's why they work so good together. Because they have the same gharad. They have the same qasd. They have the same objective that they're trying to achieve. So this example of two hands washing each other shows that how we should, why we need to foster those relationships and how well those relationships need to be. They can't be one-handed, you could say, where one hand is doing all the washing and the other one is just receiving everything. Okay, so there's another narration I wanted to share with you, which was extremely beautiful, where Imam Ghazali narrates that some of the Salaf al-Salih used to say that istakthiru min al-ikhwan, try to have a lot of good friendships. Now, when we say have a lot of friends, as we go further tonight and a little bit deeper, you're going to understand what real ukhuwa means. But for now, we're going to use the word friends in its general understood meaning. He says, istakthir min al-ikhwan. Istakthir min al-ikhwan. Have a lot of friends. Why? فَإِنَّ لِكُلِّ مُؤْمِنْ شَفَاعَةً. Because every mu'min on the Day of Judgment will have an intercession. So perhaps you enter paradise just on the basis on the intercession of one of your friends. Like that, ya Allah, this brother, that was my boy. Right? So he's saying, have these good friendships. In the Quran, الْأَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَ إِذٍ عَدُونَ بَعْضُهُمْ عَدُونَ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. That close friends will be enemies on that day, except who? Muttaqeen. Their friendships will remain on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Right? Those friendships will stay there on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So what I want to talk about now, we've seen this concept of ukhuwah. We've seen these kind of hidden realities that bring people together. We've seen other realities why we like people. What are the five elements that Imam Ghazali feels that you should judge and look for in every friend? Meaning, if these five things aren't there, nah, I'm good. I'm fine. Well, no, we can't be friends. To say it politely, I guess, or rudely. We can be associates. We can know each other. But that love, that high level of ukhuwah and friendship, no, that's reserved for a certain category, right? So let's look at those qualities. Number one. The number one quality, he says, not number one, it's the first. He says, aql, intellect. The person is intelligent. But intelligent, aql, is not really like IQ. You know, aql is a quality of the heart. And Imam Isfahani and Adhariya, he says, aql is aql or intellect, as we translate it, aql is a nur that Allah puts in the heart. So we normally translate aql, guys, as intellect, right? But it's more than that. It's what gives you basira. So basar is what you see with your eyes. But basira is an inner spiritual sight that you look with. So in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about مَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ, that their eyes are not blind, but their hearts are blind. So there's no intellect there. Huh? Insight? Foresight, insight? It's a deeper insight that comes with aql. Athawri, Sufyan Athawri, he says, to look at the face of an ahmaq is a khati'ah. Ahmaq, one lacking aql. He's trying to, before I translate, he's trying to say basically, don't accompany a fool. What's the purpose in that? What do you get from that company? Okay, they might be fun, they might do that, but after a while, you're going to be on the short end of that stick. So don't accompany a fool. So Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, he says it so strongly that nadhr ila wajhil ahmaq, just looking at the face, spending company with a fool is a sin. Spending time with foolish people is sinful. That's the soft translation of it, right? Khair. So aql. Now aql is beautiful because the aql, when it's combined with sharia, is like a nur ala nur. It's like this guide by which people walk. So the aql, the intellect, is a light, but that light is aided and amplified by the light of sharia, right? So a person walks with this aql, meaning not literally walks. We mean like walks through life. It's a guide, this aql, intellect. Now, the second quality that Imam Ghazali says that a friend must have, is the quality of husnul khuluq, good character. And the reason he says is, their aql might guide them to what to do, but they might become overpowered by that anger, that greed, that lust, that desire. All of those character defaults might overpower that aql. So the second quality that you have to find in that companion, number one, aql. Number two, husnul khuluq. Husnul khuluq, good character. Good character. And good character, as we know, is what our Prophet, our beloved Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave us. Looking at those characteristics and seeing them inside the person. Number three, he says, غَيْرْ فَاسِقْ. The person isn't an open sinner. Openly disregarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know why? It's so beautiful. He says, مَنْ لَا يَخَافَ اللَّهِ لَا تُؤْمِنْ غَائِلَتَهُ وَهُوَ يَتَغَيِّرْ بِتَغَيِّرِ الْأَغْرَاضِ. He goes, if this person doesn't fear Allah, how can you ever be safe from their changing their gharb? How can you ever be assured? And we spoke about this last week in a way, that like when you look for a spouse and things like that, if that quality of iman isn't there, then when beauty, money, fame, anything fades, what makes them stay true, loyal, good to you is that quality of righteousness. So Imam Ghazali says clearly, if this person is an open sinner, doesn't fear Allah, how can you ever be safe from them and trust that they would never deceive you? Number four, he says that the person can't be haris ala dunya. Haris ala dunya means that this person has a deep greed and covetousness for wealth and fame. Wealth and fame. All they want is to be known and popular and wealth. Because why? Once you become an obstacle to their popularity, now we can sacrifice that friendship for my popularity. I can sacrifice that friendship for more money. So haris ala dunya, they can't be one that has this deep covetousness. Deep, like haris means it's just like driving passion. And number four is, he says, لا مبتدع, that they should not be someone who makes bid'ah in the religion. Like they make their own innovations in the religion and add to the deen. Khair. These are the five conditions. These are the five conditions that Imam Ghazali kind of highlights that you should look for in a friend. Now, I also think when it comes to looking for a spouse as well, that this is a pretty strong guide. Like the Prophet ﷺ said, you can marry for looks, wealth, nasab, family, and deen. And deen is the best thing. But you should look deeper too. There should be more things there, and things that are really red flags, you can say. And I think using this is a good kind of beginning for us, which Imam Ghazali kind of lays out here. Wallahu alam. So these are the five. Any questions about these five attributes? Number three was fasiq, not a fasiq. Fasiq just means an open. Ghair, ghair, with a ghain. Fasiq, yeah. It just means not an open. So here, let me qualify that a bit. I mean, who here doesn't sin? Right? Everyone sins. Kullu bani adam khata, right? That's not the point. The point is that there's an audacity with a fasiq. There's an audacity with sin. Audacity means like discourage. Boldness before Allah. Like, so what? I did it. Right? Yeah, I do this all the time. That's different from, astaghfirullah, man. I shouldn't be doing this. That's what we want to be at. We don't want to be at this level where we have audacity before Allah with our sin. And that's what fasiq literally means. It's just, there's no remorse for that. It's open. It's that's how it is. Okay. Now, what we're going to end off with are a few things here where Imam Ghazali and many, as I said, many scholars. Imam Sha'rani has a beautiful book called, what was the name? Al-Anwar fi Adab al-Suhba. Al-Anwar fi Adab al-Suhba. Where he discusses over 72 rights of friends in Islam. 72 rights of friends. Amazing. So I'm going to start with just two rights of friends and the details that Imam Ghazali gives. Now, the first thing we need to understand is every blessing has rights. First and foremost, let's lay the foundation. Every blessing Allah has given you has rights on it. Your mother is a blessing, it has rights. Your time is a blessing, it has rights. Your health is a blessing, it has rights. You name it, any blessing has rights and hukuk that you have to fulfill. Your wife is a blessing, she has rights. Your husband is a blessing, he has rights. Whatever blessings we have, the job of the believer is to learn the right of that blessing, to make sure we're not falling short of fulfilling the rights. Friendship and good company is an amazing blessing of Allah. But what are the rights of it? Number one right is in the right of wealth. The right of mal. Start with the hard one. Start with the hard one. Mal, wealth, money. Imam Ghazali says there's three levels here. The lowest level is that you help them in need with extra money. You help them when they are in need without them asking with extra money. This is the lowest level of the right of friendship when it comes to wealth. You have extra money, they're in need. They didn't even ask you, you noticed. And then he says, if they have to ask you, muqassir. He says, if they have to ask you, this is ghayatil qusur. This is the ghaya of, this is below the right of friendship, that they have to ask you, hey bro, can you help me out? How did it have to reach that level? What type of friendship is that? So that's the lowest level. All right, what's the next level? What's the next level? Someone.
Like a beggar.
No, that's not it. Okay, he goes a different perspective. It won't be easy to guess this, actually. He says, yeah? Okay, that's... Let me explain how he does it. Because he goes a different route. He goes to make them equal to you in your wealth. To make them equal to you, baby, yes, baby. To make them equal to you, yes. To make them equal to you in your wealth. To make them equal to you. That's heavy, guys. Think about, you know how we say what's mine is yours? You want to hear a story? This is beautiful. One time a man came to Abu Huraira and he said, I want to be a good friend of yours. I want to be your friend. So he said, Atadri ma haqul akhuwa. He's like, you want to be my friend? Do you know the rights of friendship? He goes, arifinihi. Tell me what it is. Tell me what the right of friendship is. He goes, qala antakuna ahaqqa bi dinarika. Oh, this is the third level, actually. I went to the third level. He goes, the right of friendship is that I'm more deserving of your dinar and dirham than you are. The man goes, lam ablig hadha manzil. He's like, I'm not at this level. He says, idhab anni. Go ahead, leave then. Don't ask me for friendship. You don't even know what friendship is yet. Like what he's trying to say is, you claim friendship, but you haven't really learned what that level is. And subhanAllah, when you read how Imam Ghazali puts it, he goes, this level, second level of friendship, is that him putting his hand and hit your wallet is the same as you putting your hand in your wallet. SubhanAllah, like, yo, here's the pen. Here's the pen. Use the card when you need it, bro. I got you. Don't even ask. Don't even ask. Here's my Amazon account number. Go ahead. SubhanAllah. You're like, yo, but don't go over, like, you know. Like, yeah, but, you know, just be, you know, I got to pay it later, right? SubhanAllah. So the second level is that in your wealth, you're equal. Like, unfathomable level of sacrifice that our scholars are laying down for friendship. An unfathomable level. It's just amazing. Okay, and then the third level now is that person is more deserving, you feel, of your wealth than you. That doesn't mean you're starving your family, all of that. That's a whole different category, guys. But that person has, you feel he has more haq. No, this is, no, you deserve it. You deserve it. No, go ahead. Go ahead. And that's where Imam Abu Huraira said to that man, like, do you know what the right of wealth is? It's that the right of friendship is that I have more haq to your wealth than you. And he's like, man, I haven't reached that level yet. And he's like, all right, get out of here. Right? Imam Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, he once said that subhanAllah, just to understand this level of friendship, he said, لَعِشْرُونَ دِرْحَمًا أَعْطِيهَا أَخِي فِي اللَّهِ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أَتَصَدَّقَ بِمِئَةِ دِرْحَمٍ عَلَى الْمَسَاكِينَ. It's more beloved for me to spend 10 dirhams, 10 gold silver coins on my friends for lunch, for dinner, for whatever, than to spend 100 silver coins on a poor person. Let's look at it. What is he saying? This level of friendship has rights to it. Understand this level of ukhuwa, of brotherhood, that we lack in our masajid. The first thing converts say, there's no fellowship in masjids anymore. Some of us don't even know what that word fellowship means. Like, what do you mean fellowship? Fellowship is that feeling when you walk into a masjid, that where you feel like you're at home in the masjid, where you feel that close bond with other sisters and other people in the masjid. It's like almost so close. And that concept is called fellowship. And unfortunately, as Muslims, our masajid are lacking that. It's like drive-through spirituality. Drive through, get your khutbah, get your salah, I'm out. No eat in here. You don't eat in, you drive through. Right? And that's how we feel. And especially the bigger the masjid gets, unfortunately, that's the more the less fellowship you actually feel. And some of the best masjids where you feel that fellowship are which masjids? I don't want to say it because The inner city African American masjids. You walk in and it's just like hugs. What's going on? How you doing? You look new here. How's everything? You need something? SubhanAllah. And that's where you send a new Muslim. Like, hey, don't go to that big one. No, don't go there. You want to go to that small one right there? There's some beautiful people there. You'll meet them. They're going to hug you. They're going to take you. They're going to take care of you, sister. Don't worry. So that concept of fellowship is so important. And this was Islamic ideals. This was what it was. And that's why it sounds so like, what do you mean he deserves my money more than me? What does that mean? Right? So let's go forward. SubhanAllah. The second right, which we're not going to be able to actually get into. What time is it? 8:20. We're not going to actually be able to get into this right now because it also has many levels. But this is the right of taking care of the needs of that person. But there's levels to this one as well. Just as the wealth had levels as well, taking care of the needs has levels as well. The lowest level of this one was that you take your extra money or extra whatever, and when they ask, you help them. That's the lowest level of this one. And then he goes further and explains the higher levels of this one, and it goes on and on. So we're going to spend a few weeks talking about these etiquettes or these adab or the rights of brotherhood. Because once we learn that, what we're able to do is create very, very strong bonds of iman between each other. Very, very strong connections with the people. Just think of this quote of Ali radiallahu anhu. I'd rather spend 10 dinar or dirham on my boys, on my friends, than 100 dinar on needy people. Whoa, what does that mean? He's not lessening the need there. He's rising in your status, the importance of brotherhood. Imam Shafi, I'll end with this. Imam Shafi said, لَوْلَا صُحْبَةُ الْأَخْيَارِ وَنَجَاتُ الْحَقِّ تَعَالَى بِالْأَسْحَارِ مَا أَحْبَبْتُ الْبَقَاءَ فِي هَذِ الدَّارِ. He says, if it wasn't for literal translation, if it wasn't for hanging out with my friends and waking up in the middle of the night praying to Allah, I don't even want to be in this world anymore. Imam Shah, that's so beautiful. لو لا صحبة الأخيار ومناجات حق تعالى في الأسحار ما أحببت بقاء في هذا الدار. If it wasn't for chilling with my good friends, and waking up in the middle of the night calling on Allah, I don't even want to be in this world anymore. These are the two most important things to him. Coffee, chilling with your boys, waking up for tahajjud. What could be better? Like, imagine a day you got tahajjud, got all your prayers in, and you chill with your boys. Chill with Muslims. Like, what could be, that's beautiful. But on the same, like, hands though. Like two hands that wash each other. You have the same gharb. Not that one-handed stuff. Like this. No, two hands with the same maqsad, same purpose, good company. So the thing that we need to look out here is this. If you want to become a better believer with that internal purification inside your heart becoming better, you have to have good company. And company is the primary differentia. That's the thing that separated Sahaba from everyone else. Good company. Strive to find good company. Create atmospheres of good company. Like one of the things we did after this, the halakha last week was just chill for like 45 minutes, right? Doing nothing but just talking about random things, spending time with each other. We can't get into this drive-through mentality that I'm going to come, drop through, get my bit, and leave. Because you're missing that social aspect, which is so key to nurturing iman. So wherever we are, we need to create environments that have that type of bonding together. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Any questions, comments on this topic, inshallah, before we conclude? Yeah.
So it's like one person opened the door to that kind of friendship.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Would be willing and trusting enough to open their own self up to that person.
Yeah. So that social capital, that's beautiful. Like the reason we don't give is because like you're not gonna get my back. So like why I'm gonna be SOL, right? As they say, I'm gonna be messed up. So subhanAllah, when you talk about social capital. The whole idea of social capital is you build this level of social trust that people feel that you have genuine concern for the betterment of the people in your environment, right? But it's so true that until someone starts that cycle of selflessness, then the cycle never begins. The cycle never begins. Yeah, and that's I think the hadith that just struck me the most was the hadith of washing the hands. Because what better example for how we have to be? Like sometimes, you know, you got to scrub hard sometimes. Like subhanAllah, you're literally using one to get off the other. But this one knows, like, I got this one to help me too. But the purpose of them is the same. So they work together. Wallahu alam, beautiful point. Oh no, I can look for it. It's in Ihya, I can show it to you. He narrates it in the section of Adabul Ulfa wal Ukhwa. But I don't know. Wallahu alam. There is takhrij of the narration. Huh? Okay. Yeah, okay. Okay. I can look for it. We can look for it after. Malik. Yeah, after the tonight, it's that you question, like, you don't want to get burnt, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, you got to live, you got your family, you got your school, you got so much you can do.
I think, look at that incident with Abu Huraira, right? The guy said what? I'm not at that level yet. I think Imam Ghazali, what he did for us, he laid out levels. Take the wealth. He gave us three levels. I feel we're not even at the first level yet, right? Forget share wealth. Forget your wealth. You deserve more. That first level was like, I got extra. Extra means what? My family's taken care of. My bills are paid. I have extra now. So now, yo, you need anything? You're good? And he also says for needs now. A lot of times we live in a debt-based society where it's not about needs. It's about like, I just want a bigger this or a better this, right? So, wallahu alam, there's a lot of factors that come into play. But the lowest level, though, was that you got all your stuff taken care of, and now you're on the lookout. Who else needs something right now? But after, you know what I'm saying? And again, we can't let this trump rights of your wife, rights of your children. Like, they have more right than the friend. But right after the friend, right after the family are those close friends. Go ahead. Yes.
I feel like if once we define what a friend means, right?
So that's beautiful. Hold on. Exactly. Like this whole, what we spoke about first was the qualities that who a friend should be. And I think we use it so broad. Like they're not using this term. I'll give you an example now. The Prophet ﷺ, in his example, said, I don't have a friend. If I had one, it would be Abu Bakr. Huh? You know what I'm saying? Like, his level, seeing that right of the friend. Like, he's like, I don't have a friend. If I had a friend, it would have been Abu Bakr. So I think the sister has a good point, which is, we use that term too loose now. Someone we like on Facebook, they send you a message, I need $100. My cousin is in jail. He's just like, who are you? I don't even know you. But friends are on a deeper level. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we should be selective about. Because that's our company. That's who you hang with, who you chill with. That's the people you'll be resurrected with on Yawm al-Qiyamah. The Prophet ﷺ one time was walking with Umar ibn Khattab on one side, Abu Bakr with one side. He's holding their hands and he says to them, Hakadha, Hakadha will be raised on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Like this. Subhanallah. Like, he's like, I'm with you in this world. I'm going to be raised with you on the day of judgment, holding your two hands like this. Ajeeb. But so what I'm saying, it wasn't just this, my associates. I think we need to classify that and understand not everyone I meet, work with, you know, those aren't all on that level of ukhuwa on this level. Yeah. They have these five, like we spoke about. So they have these five attributes, right?
They're not somebody who's just going to take advantage of you and take your box, and just because you offer, they take it.
Exactly. But, so that's why Imam Ghazali gives these khisal, these attributes that they have to have. He's telling you, and he literally says, before naming these, he goes, not everyone is deserving of your friendship. That's the first thing he says. He's like, you have to look for these qualities and be selective about this level of friendship, who you give it to. InshaAllah. Allah give us tawfiq. Give us good company. We make dua. Make dua, Allah give us good company. Make dua, Allah give you good company. We don't know. SubhanAllah. The hearts are between the two fingers of Ar-Rahman. SubhanAllah. Nothing is too big for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ narrated the fada'il, the virtues of making dua. That if you make any dua, Allah will give it to you in this world, or store the reward for it in the hereafter, or protect you from some evil. The Sahaba said, إِذَا نَكْثُرْ. He said, if that's the case, we're going to do a lot of it. What did the Prophet ﷺ say? Allahu Akthar. They said, إِذَا نَكْثُرْ. They said, if that's the case, we're going to do a lot. Didn't the Prophet say, what? Allahu Akthar. Allah is more than your dua. So like what I'm saying is good company, that's easy for Allah. وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ. And sometimes we feel like my need is too big. And something like good company for the sake of Allah, you're making dua, oh Allah, give me good company. خَلَاص. Allah give us tawfiq, inshaAllah. All right, inshallah, we'll stop here. We're going to continue with some of the rites of ukhuwa next week, inshallah ta'ala, on Wednesday. Inshallah, jazakallah khair, coming out, everyone. We'll have Salatul Isha. What we normally do, just a reminder, after Salatul Isha, we normally have a four-minute kind of reflection or dhikr, just quiet to ourselves, that moment where we could pause and just remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after that, we just chill out a bit, inshallah. خير إن شاء الله وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. We'll pray صلاة العشاء right now, inshallah. You can turn it off. جزاك الله خير. All my friends. Yes, you're gonna say.
Oh, I just have a quick question. What about friends that they're good people, but they have good they're not really religious? Is that, you know, I feel like sometimes it's easy to kind of think, not that you're better.
Yeah, of course.
And that's like dangerous, but also you want to stay friends with that person because they're a good person. But
yeah, no doubt.
So what do you do in that?
I think those people are the people that we definitely want to befriend and build those bonds with them to strengthen their faith, right? I think, but the only thing is you just have to be careful that you're giving the da'wah, not getting the da'wah. That's the only problem, that sometimes you think you're giving da'wah and you're getting da'wah. So as long as you are the one giving da'wah, alhamdulillah. But once you start noticing yourself being affected by that too much, then you have to kind of back up and say, yo, let me get myself together and then come back, you know? Right? Allah give us tawfiq. But they definitely need our, those people need our help and we need them. They help us become better as well. Like you'll notice faults of yours through dealing with that person. Allah knows best. Khair inshallah. All right. Assalamu alaikum.